She is beautiful, she is magical, she is expressive, and she boldly goes. Now we've got the music with us. You'll put that on the green, the collection. So without further ado and interruption, sorry about that, please welcome Norma Cowell.
Thank you. Great. She does a great meditation and then says, now get out and talk, right? The music might have made the transition a little bit better. Today we're going to talk about ghosts, inside ghosts, outside ghosts. And I have no idea how it's going to go, but I'm sure it'll spring into something, for sure. I want to talk a little bit about, first of all, some of the ghost-busting experiences I had many years ago now. I wrote a little book called The Ghost I Took Home, which is exactly what had happened. Over the years, I'm not clairvoyant, overly clairvoyant, but I can sense things. And then when I was in Vancouver and around, people would phone me to come and see what was in their place that was creating a disturbance. And I'm not like Lynn here who sees people walk around and stuff like that. I don't, that's not where I am. But very often what will happen is that, we'll call it a ghost, gets disruptive. And so they because I was well known at the time, they would call me to come in and take a look. Now, but I want to, before I go to that, but I want to tell you one of the stories of when my first encounter with a ghost. And my daughter had just moved out into a house, and down the street from me, actually, not too far. And she phones up this one morning, all in a, I will call it a tizzy, right? And this is basically what came out of her mouth. I've had it up to here. I don't want it. You've got to come down right now. You've got to come down. You've got to take care of this. I didn't have a clue of what on earth she was talking about. But what was happening, things had kept going missing. And that morning, she had been putting her makeup on. You know, we have the base on. And she had put it down. She'd done half her face, turned away, and when she turned back, it had gone. So here she was with a half a face makeup. That was it. She had had enough of that. So I toddled down and sort of sat down and connected into the house. Now at that point I didn't know too much about how to help people over. I just wanted to see what was going on. And there was an older man in this house who was very disturbed by these people in his house. And so I had the great job of explaining to him that he had passed on and these other young people were now living in the house. And so, and would he please return everything he had taken? So everything came back, except one thing, which I don't think he took because he brought everything else back. 3 days later, he had made this transition. He left the house. It was no longer there. So that began a lot of things. I began to learn more and more about death and how we die and all those kind of things and how we go into the light and we look for it. What I found consistently was when I would go to a house was that the person or the energy that was there often did not know they had died. And for those of you that have attended past life regression workshops with me, I do make a point to always talk about what to expect. Because what happens is one of those topics that no one wants to talk about. That no one wants to really figure out what exactly are you going to expect? What is going to happen? What's going to take place when you go to leave this body? Now, those of us that are sitting here in this room probably have heard, you know, you look for a light, or a light will come for you, and you'll have either a close friend or a loved one that's gone before, or a beautiful being. Depends. Now that's the optimum. But very often, a lot of people are out there that don't know. And they have been driven with a lot of fear and a lot of other things, and so they get all uptight. And they don't have a clue. They've gone to sleep, and then they don't know, but in the night, they left their body. They wake up. And time is different on the other side. So, you know, all of a sudden they feel like, what are these people doing living in my house? Now, the other way I found a lot of activity was when people were using a lot of drugs or alcohol.
quite often, I used to guarantee my word of cleaning a place up. But I would say to them when I came in, and again, this is one of the ones I talked about in my book, the young people came or went on down, and there was definitely some activity in that house. And so it worked out to have everyone clear it out. I'm making a note to come back and talk about something else in a second. And then I said to them, now, you want to make sure that you're not going to be overusing anything. So, a couple of months went by, and the same people phoned me up again and said, we're having trouble again. So I said, do you have anybody in your house that's using, whether it's drugs or whether it's alcohol, or, you know, not the general, but over the top? I said, just ask your roommates, because there were several of them living in this place. And then, if not, call me back. I never heard from them. So that do, because it's like an attraction at times. And it's really an important element of what we're creating and what we're doing. For a while there, I began to feel like I was a ghost therapist. I used to come in and sit down, tune into the energies that were there. And I would find I would have to introduce them to the light. So a lot of them perhaps knew they were dead but didn't know where to go because they'd missed that opportunity. There was a movie made about that called Ghost, right? Remembering Ghost when a guy got all caught up with what was going on and the light came and he was down here still upset because what was happening and he missed the light. And that happens. It's very different. I thought that movie actually on the whole was a very good rendition of a lot of things that go on. And so what I used to do was sit there and have them bring the light to them so that they could begin to let go whatever guilt or regret or anything that has been going on with them so until they were ready to let go into the light. Now the interesting thing was, this is what I was doing with people in real life, those of us who are still in our bodies. But again, to see that when we go over, there's no real difference. If we do not, if we're full of guilt, if we're full of regret, if we're full of whatever, anger is a good one, there is no way we're going to embrace that life that says you're loved. Here I am, you're loved, everything is wonderful for you. You just don't, it's like, no. So they shy away, or they hide, or they get busy doing something else. Because we are knowing. So what happens with a lot, again, I was going to clean up the ghost part before I get to the personal part. Oh, the story of the ghost that took home. True story. I was called into this radio station that I used to go and do quite a bit of work with. Quite a well-known radio station in Vancouver. They were having problems with their electrical equipment at night. Weird things were happening. Now, one of the other things that I do know, because it's happened before, if you have a lot of electrical equipment, very often they're attracted there. And I can tell several stories about that. But this particular time, I went down and I sat down, and the first thing that came up was very interesting, because two young people came walking towards me. And they told me, and I needed to check this out, but they told me they died in a car accident up on the freeway. And this person had helped them. Well, okay, so anyway, they were easy to shift because hadn't been that long, maybe a few days. As I said, I didn't check out if someone had died up there, but to me, that's their truth, so that was real. So then I'm left with this person. This person had died a long, long, long time ago. And probably one of the early times when the Vancouver port was open, he had been a real, what we would call, bad person. He'd done a lot of bad things. And then he ended up dying in Vancouver in the port. And he was angry and he was all those things. But over time, he was kind of caught in that in-between place. So we began to help people who crossed over and didn't know what to do. You'd kind of be on a riskiness mission, right? So here I am in a radio. If you know anything about radio, the one thing they don't want is dead time, right? And they're recording me, because they're going to use this on the show sometime. And this is not a simple little case. So I my brain is going, what am I going to do here? This is going to take some time. So I kind of said, oh, well, and then I said, basically, one word to the people, oh, it's okay, we've gotten it, we can move this along, no problem, blah, blah. And to the person, I said, you come with me. And I literally took them home. For me, normally, anywhere between 5 and 10 minutes would be a normal time of transcending a mess, getting the ghost, we'll say, to the other side. 45 minutes. And what had happened, and I say in my book, because this is how I felt then, if I had been able to strangle his mother, I would have. He had been raised in London, England, with a very nasty mother. This mother had drilled him that he was no good, not worth for anything, etc. So here I am trying to introduce him to this loving force that's going to forgive him, where all his transgressions forever and ever and ever have been forgiven, and he can go up into this light. Do you think this man is going to go? No. I used every trick I had on my sleeve in being able to introduce him. No, it wasn't anything to do with it. So I was at my wit's end. When you're at your wit's end, ask for help. And it came to me, his mother. So I called up his mother. Called his mother up. There she is, right up there. And his mother, I can't remember the words, but his mother said something to him, and a whole different person emerged. It was like the mother kind of said, it's okay. You can let go. You can come. And he did. And he did it. And he just, it was like this whole big thing let go. And I've used that several times since then. Because once I realized that when you have a tortured soul, somewhere has created that. And when they can see that person. I'm just going to tell you another story, actually, because it comes to mind. It's sort of similar. I had a phone call from my brother in New Zealand, and a very good friend of his had died unexpectedly, and they were saying it was suicide. And my brain said, it just doesn't sound right, because I knew this person quite well, too. So I said, okay, I'll go take a look. So I went back in time, and again, I had to explain to him he was dead. This friend, he was a good long time knowing him since he was quite young. And I said, well, what are you doing? I can't, I don't know, no one's talking to me, no one's saying anything, I don't know what's going on. And he was a big guy, and he had some health issues, and I said, well, you've taken something and it hasn't worked, and you've died. No way, there's no way I can possibly be dead. I'm not typical, this person, if you knew, right, attitude. And again, was not going to have any part of crossing over properly at all. So I said to him, well, I want you to look up here and I want you to see your mom. And so he looked up there, oh yeah, there's mom. I said, okay, so now I want you to go into this light and I want you to go up there, because that's where you need to go now. Like a little lamb, he went. And I found my brother back and I said, he did not commit suicide. It was an accident. It was an overdose by accidental means. So you see, sometimes we just got to find different things out, right? Exactly what and where. So let's take a look. When we pass over, if we train ourselves, and I had my kids trained from when they were very little, because you never know what's going to happen, so if they ever thought they were dead, to look for a light. Now, I mean, I didn't know very much back then, but I knew that. And they knew that. And they still can say that to this day. Is that you look for a light around, because on every vibrational level in the tarot, we have the hermit, which is the person that works with the lantern. There's always a light to go towards, because this is not like me coming out of a church and saying, hey, come on, lantern. It's like saying, you've got to make that move, you've got to go towards that. And that's another thing. Sometimes people say, oh, they'll come and get you. They will in the beginning, most assuredly, because it's a timeline. Some people, when they really, I've just had this happen, when a friend of mine really needed, look, in a way, she says, I could have easily gone, but I said, no, I've got more things to do. I've had another friend that's done that, that has said, no, I'm not ready, I've got more things to do. They have said that. So when you have to wait, it's kind of like waiting for the roulette to come around again, right? Sometimes it's much quicker, it's quick. Like my mom was like that, she got so frightened. I was there, I watched it, and I went, oh, this is it, she's gonna go. And she got so frightened that for a woman who was sleeping 23 hours a day, she was awake 23 hours. What was that? And so it's like being ready and prepared. And what does that mean is that we need to love ourselves. We need to allow that light to come in. So now let's talk about the ghost inside. When I started working in my inner child transformation, what I began to find was that parts of us, or aspects of us, whatever you want to call it, were stuck in time. That, for instance, I had a lot of 7-year-olds. Because when something dramatic happens to you, you splinter. And you splinter into different parts, usually if it's from physical abuse or sexual abuse in particular. So physical could be just having a dramatic fall, or somebody gives you a smack, or a really good smack. I'm not just saying a little, but quite physical. There is that element that the actual essence of you splinters into bits. What happens is that we don't grow any further with that. That 7-year-old, and I don't know how many 7-year-olds I ended up finding, but let's say I had 4, I know for sure. They weren't a whole unit. So when I first started studying how to go inside, I was with a group that dealt with what we call parts. So we'd follow something down, and once it felt good, we'd change it and transform it. It was my first introduction to being able to transform the inner world. And then some situations came into my life and I realized something was incorrect. I didn't have something that really worked. So I spent 2 days where information kept coming into me and I put my concept together that it wasn't about bits of us, it's that we were whole. That every memory that was stuck in space and time was a whole aspect. And sometimes that wholeness had been split up and we needed to reintegrate it. Since that moment of learning and being given that information, I have worked consistently with myself and the students who study with me to have them be brought into integration. I call that integration. That we integrate these different aspects to us. I also began to realize the same light that comes for us when we are ready to die, is available to us at any given moment if we know how to open ourselves up to the vibration and to let it in. And then we can bring that light in and it can transform whatever it is that you're stuck in, which is usually an emotion. In fact, when I was thinking today, because you've got these guys here make beautiful diagrams and stuff, and I thought, how would I do this? And I thought, I have a wavy goat and a mummy. You know, when you get wrapped up, I've had aspects of myself like that. It's so stuck, so restricted, that nothing hardly would get it. It was only because I've been working with energy, things I didn't even find them, because there was no movement. It's very easy to find something that has a movement in it. Like if you look back on your memories, if you go back, let me say, whenever you have a glitch in your memory, it's like, oh, wait, I don't want to go there. Or that doesn't feel good. There's something unresolved. When I do soul impression drawings for people, it shows up very often where those glitches are throughout their lives. And often I'll say, oh, at 42, something occurred here. And I'll say, yes, and they can name them. Not every time, but the majority of times. They'll say, oh, yeah, that happened then. Or sometimes I get phone calls later and saying, I just remembered what it was. Because the soul essence of you, you want to bring it to a place where it's as full and as complete as it could possibly be. Because when you do make that journey across, and we never really know when that is. I just had a friend, heard of a friend who made this transition, who was very important in my life when I first started getting into tarot. We studied together, actually, back in the 60s. He was instrumental in having me begin to work with what became the Phoenix Metaphysical Bookstore in Surrey, which spearheaded a lot of my following career. Passed away. He's a few years older than me. And so I was talking to a friend of mine last night who lives in another province, and I said, I want you to make sure if anything happens to you that I'm told. And we were talking about this because he's just had two friends. We're in our 70s. He had two friends who just passed over, right? And I said, well, I want to know, because I'm going to be pretty silly, because I actually said to him, what happened to you 2 days ago? Because you're in my head. With you and your friends like this, right? So he went, oh, yes, now I know what that was. So it's like, he said, oh, so he's going to tell one of his daughters to make sure. I said, isn't she going to the hospital really sick? Just let me know. And, you know, I always get on a plane or something. So it's really important to recognize that we want, when we're ready, a lot of people have even passed over earlier, that we're ready, that we're willing to let go of whatever angers, whatever guilt, whatever regret, anything that we're kind of holding on to. And even the sense that there's more to do. Hey, if you're called, go. Because if there was more to do, you would have done it. In my mind. I may be incorrect. But I don't think you're called back if there's still more to do than more to do. You may feel like that. Now, if you're set back, which a lot of people have when they have accidents or comas, and they're gone, and someone, a being comes and says, you go back. There's things for you to do. That's a different thing. You see the difference? One is saying, I don't think I'm ready yet. I think there's more for me to do. And the other one is saying, hold on. And you know, whenever I spoke to anybody who has had that happen, they always talk about this most beloved being. They don't have any angst about it at all. It's like, oh, we're so beautiful. I wanted to stay, but I knew I had to come back. I knew I had to be here. And it changes their lives. But we can have those changed experiences without having to go to that extreme of dying and being sent back, and or dying and just going on to where we're at vibration. I explain to people often, we will emerge to the level of our spiritual understanding. It's we're like water. We're going to go to wherever we understand. There's a book written by Peter Richelieu called The Soul's Journey, and it's the best book I've ever read that explains how when people pass over, they go to whatever their belief system is. So you get all the Muslims together, all the Buddhists together, all the Christians on the different variations together, and we get us ones together, and it's until all of a sudden you realize, oh, there's even more. And then, of course, it comes back because I'm a reincarnationist about the reincarnation of how we go. How does that happen? What happens? And I don't really want to get into that today. But I want you to be aware that you have within you aspects that are frozen in space and time. If you have a memory that you keep remembering, guaranteed that part of you that was involved in that memory is stuck there. If you have a place you don't want to think about, there will be some energy. The little mummies, this is called the mummy. The little mummies are all there wrapped up. I talked about my 7-year-olds. One day, I was running energy. Does anyone else here run energy when they just take an energy and just run it through their body? Right? Yeah, I used to do this a lot and lots. And this one day, I was coming up, I don't know, I got to about here, I think, of my body, and I went, well, that's funny. And there was like this little piece, I don't know, 3 inches tall maybe, it felt, not very big, dead still, looking down, just looking down, very sad. Something I had to deal with a lot of my life for many years was a feeling of sadness, and which is unfortunately something most abused people do, I discovered. But she was just so still. There was no movement, absolutely still. And it took me everything I knew how to get her to open up and allow the light in to begin to let go and begin to recognize that there was a whole life out here that she could come and join and be happy with and do all those things. And that's the miracle of us, is that we don't have to be stuck. We don't have to be absolutely mummified for whatever purpose or any time. That there is only this light of oneness of which loves you, and therefore you can love yourself. And whether you have someone like me who does this kind of work, or whether you do it for yourself, it's worth it. Because it brings forward a beautiful sense of belonging. We all want to belong, I realize. We're not, even though some of us may spend lots of time by ourselves, we really are people who want to belong. We want to be appreciated. We want to see that reflection of who we are. That's how I did most of my personal growth. Seeing the world out there and not liking what I see, but had to look inside and say, well, what is that? Where do I hold that within me? And so what we're going to do, I'm just looking at my time, could I go for a minute? I'm just going to grab this water that's down on the floor.
My throat's beginning to dry up a bit here. Mm.
What I'd like you to do is just close your eyes for a moment. We'll just do it. After Trisha's long meditation, I don't want to keep you too long in this. But anyway, what I'd like you to do is you pick a color, any color. Every color has a feeling to it. And we want something that where we feel comfortable, that when we breathe into it, we know that we're accepted, and we know that we're loved. So you just pick a color that has that those qualities for you. And then I want you to start at your feet. And I want you to slowly just bring the light and the energy up from the bottoms of your feet. Gently and easily. It's like drawing up a nice cord of light. And as you bring it up, if you find there's some spot where that energy does not run smoothly, it may stop, it may want to skirt around it, but anything that wants to block it, I want you to just spend a little bit of time there by taking the light and just remembering how the Pac-Man works where it chews up things. I want you just to let the light in there and just take away whatever that blockage is. Here comes an aspect of you, and just recognize it's free. By recognizing that it's able to let go and become free up. If sometimes you get a vision of yourself at a younger age, and you can basically just let them know, they can grow on up to the present. You can let them know the date and your age. It's kind of a quick way of doing it, but it works. And then when you've got that block cleared, you just carry it up. You keep bringing that on up. And what the key is, as I talked about, is integrating, is to allow this light and all these aspects of ourselves to integrate very easily into our whole being. So that we are one within ourselves, first of all, so that we can recognize the oneness externally. It's very difficult to acknowledge a oneness when we're not one within. So I just want you to bring that up. When you feel it in your head, I just want to put your hand up, so I just want to make sure everyone kind of gets it up there. Just put your, so when your hand's up there, I can tell where most of us are here. The kinesthetics will take a little longer than the visuals. Great. Okay. Put your hands down. Thank you. Know that I will be around if we have any birthday cake for questions or comments or anything you'd like to know further. In the meantime, I just trust there's a little bit more knowledge aware of how we do have our own inner ghosts as well as those that are outside, and they're all part of the one. So thank you very, very much. Thank you.